Our godfather of farce, Ray Cooney. He knows all about Run for Your Wife and Run in the Family. And I'm really delighted to be speaking with him now.
Yeah, I've never been called a godfather before, but I sound like Marlon Brando.
You do
yeah,
the
lovely.
Family, you see.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
a family thing.
Man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Now, of course, it's the Theatre Royal in Windsor, where Stop Dreaming has just had its world premiere, and we'll be talking about that just more fully in a little bit. But, of course, many of us might have had the pleasure of seeing the show at the lovely Yvonne Arno in Guildford, where I had the pleasure of performing and reviewing it. When you played the role of John Smith, of course, you originated there in
Run for Your Wife. Yeah, I did, yeah. I didn't mean to, because I was, I'd written it and I was directing it, and the poor leading actor fell ill on at the dress rehearsal, and sort of idiot Ray had to step in and take over the role at a moment's notice.
Really? That's typical comedy. That's like amazing. But every actor's dream, isn't it, really?
Well, it's a nightmare, I think, is the word. And, of course, everybody thinks because you've written it that you must know every word, but you don't. Because you haven't learnt it in the way that an actor has to learn the role. You know the whole piece generally, and you can usually prompt people, but you don't know it.
Yes.
But I loved it. I mean, I love Guildford. It must be over 35 years when I first directed a play here with Peter Cushing and Alec McCowan and Kathleen Harrison. I love coming to Guildford.
Wonderful. What a wonderful cast.
Oh, well, yeah. If anybody can remember them.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Peter Cushing. Well, it's Halloween coming up, isn't it? Who could forget?
Oh, yeah.
Amazing horror actor.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, of course, what is it about that theatre as an actor in this farce that sort of involved you in that and made you want to go on? Because obviously you were writing it at this stage, and like you said, writing and performing is different. But what made you want to go on into directing the piece?
I've been writing and directing. I started off as an actor. All I ever wanted to be was either Marlon Brando or Laurence Olivier. Mm-hmm. And I went into Brian Rix's company and I became a comedy actor. I sort of segued into writing because I was in a long run at the Whitehall Theatre in 1956. And I had something. I thought I'd better do something rather than play tennis and chase girls. I wasn't married then. And I'm looking at my wife as I say that.
You better run for your wife.
You better run from her, yeah. So I started writing then, and of course I hadn't really realised what I'd soaked up as an actor over the years. And I was with Brian Rix, and I wanted to write him a play. I thought that's what I should do, and that's how I started. And then about 10 years later, I started directing the plays as well, which I loved doing, and sometimes acting in them. And then musicals became part of my life, because I was one of the co-writers of a musical called Charlie Girl. I've just loved being part of every aspect of the theatre, and I've loved it. But Guildford was always very special because it was the second production of the new theatre. So I saw it through Laurie Lister, who was the original artistic director, and then Val May, and then lovely Jamie Barber. Jamie was on the stage management of Run for Your Wife, and he's really never ever left the theatre. So that's Jamie's been there 30 years, and he's a very special man. And I just love that theatre.
He's a lovely man. I remember before my radio DJ days, I went to Guildford School of Acting, and he auditioned
lovely.
Me actually. I remember him on the panel. So yes, we like Jamie Barber.
Yeah, lovely guy.
He is lovely.
But I must say this: to come here and do Stop Dreaming, that's it's great. There's a tremendous rapport between the stage and the audience at Guildford. It's just lovely.
Yes, it is.
And the company noticed that last night. They were really on a high. That was our first night last night. And,
perfect.
It really went great.
It does. I can imagine that it would. It's a lovely theatre, very intimate. It's a lot. You feel really part of it, don't you? Get feedback.
Right throughout the theatre, whether you're in the auditorium or whether you're in the restaurant, it feels like a family. That's what it is.
It certainly does, yeah. And of course, we were mentioning about comedy with the great Brian Rix farces, the Whitehall farces, but of course you have played parts in the Mousetrap, rather. And people say that if you can play if you can do serious, you can do comedy as well. So do you find they sort of both go quite well together?
Well, you need people think in my farces it's all about just being funny. It isn't. You have to be. That's why actors like Donald Sinden, Dickie Byers, they're Leslie Phillips, they're so good in my plays because they are good actors. It mustn't look as though you're just larking around. So when it came to Stop Dreaming, which Stop Dreaming came about because my son kept saying to me, Dad, you've got to go and see Chaz and Dave. I'll go. We see their gigs. They're fantastic. And I said, yes. Well, hang on, Chaz and Dave, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? And I do remember sort of Gertrude and Margate. But he said, no, you just got to go and see them. So I did, and I was just bowled over because then I sat and listened to all their discs. And what I didn't realize was that they not only write sort of knees up wonderful London stuff,
yes,
but they've written some beautiful melodies and love songs, and of course people don't really know that, so they get a really pleasant surprise when they come to the theatre hear these lovely songs.
Oh, they're great, great musically, and that's what I noticed about the production that you put on there, the band up in the top of the house that is revealed.
Lovely.
It's lovely, isn't it? It's a lovely touch, and also you're so aware of actually that great boogie-woogie sort of, I don't know, ragtimey. Yeah. They've got so much talent.
I've just loved doing it, and people often say, what's been your favourite show ever? Well, of course, the answer to that is the one you're working on. That's your baby. So that's the baby that you love at that moment, and then of course when it finally gets produced and it's running, you have to let your baby go. And
that's
then,
right.
Hopefully, if you're lucky,
if it goes into the right arms.
Baby.
Oh, yes. Oh.
So I have loved this, though, because... And Chaz, we've done a lot of work on it since Windsor. You know, as I usually do, I do a lot of rewriting, and I'd gone down a couple of wrong avenues, and so I over the 3 days between finishing at Windsor and opening at Guildford, I did some pretty huge rewrites, and the cast were wonderful. I mean, it's one thing rewriting in a play, but if you're going to rewrite in a musical, and because we've added... since the end of Windsor, we've added two numbers and written out one character, and it's been a huge... And Chaz was in last night, and he came up and he gave me a great big hug, and he said, oh, Ray, you have done it, mate. You have done it.
We love Chaz and Dave. I bumped into them in the bar, I have to say, at Windsor, and I got a picture on Facebook, so yeah, do check it out.
Oh,
but yeah, they were like, cheers, darling. So yeah, I loved it. And I've played some songs since then. I'm going to play Rabbit as well. I couldn't resist. I mean, it's brilliant, isn't it? But I mean, how did you actually meet them? Did you say, you went to go and see the gigs? Because they were playing at the 100 Club some time back, and did you go and see them and then talk to them after?
I went to see them. Well, we live in Epping, in Essex, Epping Forest, and Harlow is not far away, and they were playing in a little club in Harlow, which is where my son said, come on, it's near your house, Dad, come on, come and see them. So my wife and I and son Danny went to see them, and that's when I was bowled over. And at the end of the show, it was a small place, maybe 100 people there, and... at the end of everybody's got their Chaz and Dave T-shirts that they're asking Chaz and Dave to sign. So I got in the line, and I said to Chaz, Dave was still signing T-shirts, and I said, Chaz, you won't know me, but my name's Ray Cooney. And he said, oh, God, you Ray Cooney? Oh, my wife's done all your plays, mate. Oh, then he gave me one of his hugs, and he says, "Gah!" I said, well, hang on. I said, well, I haven't got an idea yet, but if I could come up with an idea, I'd love to use your music in a new show. He said, Ray, I would be honoured, mate. He's so nice, and they're so true.
Aww.
They're so true to their roots.
Yes.
So I thought, well, hang on, I've said I'm going to do this, but, you know, all their numbers are written for two guys, and so I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, I can't just have a show about two guys. And then I had a vague idea about my mum, something that happened to my mother, and so I thought, yeah, I'll base it on that. And so I locked myself in the attic, because I'd already committed to doing a workshop at Sonning. So I had about 2 weeks, and I've never ever done anything. You know, I usually take about 6, 7, 8 weeks to write something.
Yes.
So I was up in the attic, surrounded by photographs of my mum and my dad when they were young, middle-aged, and when they were old, and playing all the time Chaz and Dave's numbers. And it gradually began to drop into place, and I I've just loved it.
Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? It's great. Obviously, you get inspired. It's interesting to hear about the writing process because that must, you know, you have to lock yourself away, like you say, and get inspired. But once you find it, then it must just all flow out of you.
Well, this is the first time I've ever done anything that one could say was personal. I hasten to say that because most of my plays are sort of about extramarital affairs. So,
yes.
Was interesting when I'm writing one of my plays, like Run for Your Wife, I kept reading about bigamists who got away with it and all that stuff. So it was nothing to do with me. And I thought, well, wait a minute, what's the best career you could have? What's the best job to be a bigamist? And I thought, a taxi driver. So it was just something, it was just a good idea. And
yes,
that's what
excellent
most
idea.
You get a basic idea, like in Funny Money. The guy picked up the wrong briefcase on a tube train, and the one he'd got has got all this money in it. So it's never anything personal, but this,
yes.
This is the first time I've... and it was Chas and Dave's music that kind of inspired me. This was the first time I've written anything that might relate to me, and...
Wonderful.
So it's been really... And we've got a terrific cast.
You have,
really,
yes. I was going to say about your cast, actually, because, like you said, it is a theme throughout it, the music. And really, it's the music, as I know from a DJ as well, that kind of really motivates and it moves you into all sorts of places, different journeys have you. But we're talking about sort of Ray Cooney stalwarts, and of course Royce Mills, who's currently appearing in Stop Dreaming.
I've got to interrupt
he's not,
because
no?
this was the sad aspect of the show. At Windsor, the character I had to cut was the character that Royce Mills played. So I've had to apologise. I've written a very... I hope it's a nice letter that goes in all the programmes. Because, I mean, Royce is a Guildford stalwart. He's my stalwart.
Mm-hmm.
But the character wasn't working. So I thought, well, we've got 2 weeks at Guildford. If I want to see how it works without this character, I'm going to have to do... That was the big rewrite. And I said to Royce, this character, it's not working, and I want to cut it. He said, Ray, you have relieved me enormously. He said, I couldn't make it work. I said, Royce, it's nothing to do with you. This is nothing to do with you. This is my mistake in the writing, which one often, you know, I've had to do this before. You have a character, it doesn't work. So Royce said, Ray, I'm really relieved. And I said, well, thank you. So we hugged each other.
Well, that's a great relationship, isn't it, to be able to do that, where you see the writing or the acting and something's not quite working out. But who's to say? Something may come back in again. Who knows? You never know with these things, do you?
Royce and I, we're always working together whenever we can, which is, you know, Royce and me.
Yes.
But you see, Neil Simon said it. He said, plays aren't written, they are rewritten. Especially our kind, you know, our kind of plays, comedies, you know, if you've either if a character is not working, or if you've got a sequence that you hoped was funny and just isn't, the audience tells you that that's not very funny, so it has to go.
Yes.
I'm ruthless with my own work.
The audience give you that feedback, and that's the joy of it, isn't it? So that you can really feel it.
You know, you're doing it for the audience. You're not doing
Absolutely.
It just to please yourself. So
yes.
if the audience tell you it's not quite working, Ray, you have to do something about it.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about it. They've always been very sort of rotating in, like, Run for Your Wife. It's obviously a very long run there with Christopher Beanie and Bernard Cribbins. I remember seeing them. And
You've seen them all.
I go back
you?
A bit, don't I? Yes. But no,
goodness.
It's wonderful. And I also remember Royce Mills as well. So it's lovely to have those familiar faces. And of course, there are quite a few familiar faces in Stop Dreaming. And I have to say, Trevor Bannister from Are You Being Served was an absolute joy as Grandad, wasn't he?
Isn't he a joy?
He's brilliant.
He is lovely. He is,
and Vicky Michelle was very good in Hello, Hello. And I did love her rendition of Rabbit with all the guys. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, lovely.
That was a great number.
See, this was the interesting thing, because of trying to get ladies into the show as well. And,
yes.
Inventing those three girls at the Edmonton nightclub, getting the three pussies into it. So this was the only way I could get some of the numbers in, because they're all written for two guys.
Oh yeah, they're very sort of, you know, blokey, aren't they? But that worked really, really well with the number of those numbers with the ladies, I have to say. But I guess in true Chas and Dave style, I'm proving I've got more rabbit than Sainsbury's, so it's been lovely.
Beautiful,
to
all the lyrics as well.
I know, I love it. So we've been speaking for quite a while, but it's lovely. I mean, we could go on for days. Obviously, you've worked with amazing people like David Croft, one half of the Perry
Do you obviously soak all this information up, don't you? You're really knowledgeable about it all.
I do, because I love you. I love all your farces, and it's just after you join, the people you've worked with and the kind of work, like Simple Spy Men as well, that's one of my favourite as well. John Chappell.
How old are you?
I'm 135.
You sound as though you're about 21.
I'm 37. I've said that on air now. It's all out there. I'm so honest.
That's almost what I am, 73, but I happen to be a bit older, but I won't bore you with that.
I think it's because I just always grew up with the love of all great comedies, and also I've been at drama school, and so I think I'm pretty well read on a few plays and what have you, so I do love it. So,
and of course, we haven't mentioned this, have we? The guy who plays the lead, he hadn't been on the stage for 8 years, and that's Cliff Parisi, who plays Minty in EastEnders. And he's been a lovely guy to work with because he's so used to doing television.
Yes, right. Yes,
to come on the stage and the music blaring out and everything.
Yes. But, how did he find that? Was it a challenge for him to immerse in the world of musicals?
Yes. Oh yeah, but he within a few days of rehearsal he'd latched onto it because he had had a very interesting theatrical career before EastEnders. But he hadn't appeared on the stage for over 8 years.
I mean,
that's a long time, but it's such a nice company. I mean, everybody has given, and the ensemble of this, all the the boys and girls in the ensemble, they every time they come on,
they're very strong,
they give it their all.
Definitely, because everything is ensemble with your work, and it's slick beyond belief, isn't it? You need to have that tight team, and you've got a lovely company there. So, of course, people, this is on tour now. We have we're coming to the end of Guildford, aren't we?
I have to put it on the back burner after Guildford because three of them had got Cliff Parisi and Vicky Michelle and I think Louise Jameson, who's also lovely in it.
Yes, she's very good.
They've all got Christmas pantomime commitments, so there was no way we could. What I would normally do is, if it had worked as well as one hopes, you bring it straight in to London, into the West End. But I knew I couldn't do that, so we're going to have to put it on the back burner and just wait for the right theatre, sort of February, March time.
Well, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, so it'll give me time to do some more rewrites.
Well, you never stop writing.
No.
Well, hopefully it'll be in the West End for another 9 years, like Run for Your Wife.
Well, it's a good London show, isn't it? Good London show.
Oh, definitely, yes. Perfect London show. All those London... But you have to go down to Margate as well.
Let me ask you a quick question, Suzanne. What do you... At the moment, it's called Stop Dreaming, which is one of their numbers, and it quite sort of fits. I'm not sure that that's the best title, and I wondered if London Girls was a better title, or might give the wrong impression of the show if it's called London Girls. What do you think?
I'm not sure, because there was a film called Made in Dagenham that's just come out, and they were going to call it Dagenham Girls, and then they thought, is that going to give the wrong image? So it's the same kind of debate, I suppose, really. But I know, I'll put it out to our listeners, and if they come up with a good title, we can collectively name it via Brooklyn's Radio.
A bottle of champagne, well, actually, a crate of champagne. If anybody comes up with the title that I use, I'll give them a crate of champagne.
Well, come on, listeners, that's the motivation you need. On this radio station, that's good motivation. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Roy. Ray.
That's right. I don't mind being called Roy.
Call me anything as well. But it's been an absolute joy and such a pleasure to talk to you, and really admire all your work. And I'm going to play a little bit of Chaz and Dave because we've been rabbiting on.
Lovely. Okay, I'll listen to that.
Oh, fabulous. Okay. Take care. Enjoy the rest of it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Roy. And that's Ray Cooney, the amazing godfather of farce.